Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Kufav Amadbed by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Yeshav Achad ala Petach velo Miulu. This one individual sat in the door opening. He doesn't fill it out. Yeshav Hasheni Miulu. And then the second individual sits down, and together with the first individual, now they filled out the door. Chayav. The second one is Chayav because he's the one that completed sealing the house, locking in the animal that's inside. So he's the one that's going to be culpable for the trapping. Yeshav Rishon ala Petach. First individual sat down at the doorway and he filled it out. And then a second individual came down and sat near him. The second individual was unnecessary because the first one had already blocked the door. Even though now the first individual gets up and leaves. First one is chayav because he's the one that executed on blocking the door. He's the one who did the melacha atzad. The second individual came here, was unnecessary and even extraneous when he sat down. He didn't need to be there, and even without him, the whole melacha would have taken place. But then, when the first one gets up, he now becomes the block to the doorway. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says that he is patur, because when he sat down, at the moment that he sat down, he hadn't done anything. So when number one gets up, then we don't hold the second individual who sat down culpable, just because he's there now. Ha, the ma. What is this similar to? The Noelet Beito Lishomro. Person closes the door to his house, locks the door to his house, Venimtsa Tzvi Shamur Betocho. And suddenly he realizes that there is an animal inside. Person's not locking the door, closing the door because there's an animal inside. He's locking the door, he's closing the door because he's leaving his house. That's what he does every time he leaves his house. He walks out the door, locks the door, and then he leaves. And all of a sudden he realizes that there's an animal inside the house. The Mishnah over here says that that's not problematic. And so too, this individual over here. When he sat down, he did nothing wrong. All of a sudden, the other person gets up, and now he becomes the block to the doorway. That's that sudden realization that there's a tzvi in the house after you've locked the door. Both of those are considered to be okay, considered to be not problematic. So the Gemara is going to ask you a question. Doesn't it mean patur or asur? Gemara is going to say no, that this means mutar legamre. Completely mutar what he did. We'll get to that in a second in the Gemara. What's important here is that there is a Rashba that commented on this Mishnah. It was then quoted by the Shilte Giborim. And then the Shilte Giborim himself introduces another twist on it. And between this Rashba and the Shilte Giborim, it turns out that tremendous halachot of Shabbat are dependent on what they say here. So I'll read you the Shilte Giborim. It's found on the Rif, on Daf Lamed Chet, Daf Rif. Shilte Giborim in Ot Gimel says, HaRashpa Katav, the Rashpa wrote, Ve'vio dvarav Aran, who Magid Mishneh. It's quoted by the Aran, the Magid Mishneh, Sh'im haya yodea kodem shesagar et ha-petach, shaya bebeito tzvi. If he knew beforehand that there was an animal in there, the way we presented it in the Mishnah was that he didn't know that the animal was there. Just he locks the door and then he realizes that the animal's there. The Rashba says, even if he knows that there's an animal in there, shumutar lisgor beito v'lishmor beito, you're allowed to close the door and lock the door to protect your house, for the security of your house. V'atzvi shebetocho. And what about the animal inside? Afo pisha de'anila nitzod atzvi mimeilo. Even though by closing the door, by definition, you're going to be trapping the deer inside the house. But there, buvad shelo yitkavein lishmor et atzvi livado. That he can't have in mind just to trap the tzvi. Elash mitkavein nami lishmor abayit. He also has to have in mind that he is going to be shomer the bayit, to protect the house, secure the house. The question that arises right away is, well, isn't that a pasuk reshe v'lo yamut? That's what we've said all along, that just because you don't have intent for something doesn't mean it's mutar if it's an inevitable outcome of what you're doing. Over here, by locking the door, we know he's automatically going to trap the tzvi. So even if he intends just to lock the door, but if he knows the tzvi is inside, it's a pasuk reshe that he's going to lock the tzvi inside. Nevertheless, the Rashba over here says, mutar. It's fine. It's completely okay. Right. He can't have just kavanah to be letzud. He can't have just kavanah for trapping the animal. But it seems, the way that he quotes the Rashba, that if he has kavanah for both, that it would be fine. Now, Varan v'Ramban paligele, the Ran and the Ramban argue on this position of the Rashba. V'savre, kishi yodeya shiyesh tzvi b'bayit, if he knows that there's a deer in the house, kodem shino, afo pishi mitgaven l'shmirat b'bayit, even if he intends just to watch the house or secure the house, v'afilo lo yitgaven klal l'tzidat tzvi, and he has no intent for the tzvi at all, shasur lo lino l'bayit, you may not lock the door or secure the door. So they're on opposite extremes almost. They're in ban, and the Iran say, can't lock the door, even if you only intend to lock the door and secure the house, if you know that the animal's inside. The Rashba says, as long as you have also intent to lock the house, if you know the Tzvizah, you can lock it in, no problem. And then he says, Davi Pasik Kreshe. They asked the question that I presented before. Vashta the Divya Rashba Nimtenu Lemedim. From the Rashba, we learned, the Shulte Giborim says, the Afagav, the Kaimalon, the Pasik Reshe Asur. Even though, in general, we know that, Bayin Rabba say, Mode Rabbi Shimon, but Pasik Reshe Velo Yamut. Rabbi Shimon, who is the flag bearer of the position, Davar Sheinu Mitkaveen, is Mutar. Nevertheless, he says, if there's a Pasik Reshe, automatic, inevitable outcome that you're going to do something Asur, then it's asur. We don't allow you to do something that's darash einu mitkaveen. But what we learn from this Rashba, this is what the Shulte Giborim says, that hayu dafka shebaoto masse the ovid haposik reshe einu mitkaveen ve'einu osid davar heterimo. That's only in the case of the pasik reshe that you're not intending and you don't do something mutar along with it. Aval. You do something that's mutar along with it. And you intend for that heter. Then even if there's an inevitable outcome, and you intend for it, it is mutar. That's what he says, the Rashba is saying, which is radical. And what you're going to have to explain here, the difference being that when it's davar she'einu mitkaveen, you don't intend the first action. The first action was asur. But if the first action is completely mutar, it's not because it's davar she'einu mitkaveen, it's mutar. It's mutar here to lock your house, to close the door. Irrespective of whether you have kavanah or don't have kavanah, it's always mutar to lock your house. There's a problem now because there's a deer inside. So in that instance, he says that pasuk reshi doesn't apply. Because the case of pasuk reshi is in a case where you're doing something that otherwise would have been asur, but it's davar she'einu mitkaveen, you're not intending for it. And then, when you don't intend for it, it becomes an inevitable outcome from there. That's the way the Rashba explains it. And he says, Vili, according to me, this is the Shulte Gemara, the Met, Ki kula hi zu, this is a big kula, Vani katafti bichidushai, Kol maaseh she'efshar lasot, Zulata pasuk reshe, any action that you could have done, had it not been for the pasuk reshe, Az, afilo avid oto maaseh, hafilo abe pasuk reshe shari. That if you do that action, even if it ends up in this pasuk reshe, it's mutar. Because he has no intent for the pasuk reshe. His intent for this action that's mutar. V'irachti sham, says, and I extensively wrote about it there. Umi divrei Rashba siyua gadol ledivarai. And the Rashba, it's a great proof to my position. Ki kal v'chomehem divarai midvarav. The Rashba is matir even more than what I said. Because the Rashba says you can have intent for both of them. Whereas the Shulte Giborim says, as long as you are focused on the mutar action, then we don't worry about the pasuk reshe. But the Rashba says, even if you're thinking about the other action as well, it's fine because you did something that's mutar. Now why this Shulte Giborim is important is because the Shulte Giborim basically introduces this idea that if I am doing something that is what we call derech shigra, something that we do as a course of normal business, something that we do as part of normal life. You're walking down the street. You are opening and closing the door to your house. You are doing things that 99% of the time are completely mutar, have no issues with regards to the Shabbat, and something that you would do all the time. But then all of a sudden you bump into something that is sur because of that. Here in the case where you go in and out of your house 100 times, open and close the door, lock the door, there's no problem with that. And you would do it normally on Shabbat. All of a sudden now there's a deer inside your house. And you know there's a deer inside your house. Let's take the position of the Shulte Giborim, not as far as the Rashba. You don't care about the deer being inside the house. And you lock your door and you close your door. As far as the Shulte Giborim is concerned, you it is mutar on Shabbat. It's completely fine on Shabbat because you're doing an action that you normally would do. Not only would you normally do it, it's something that would be mutar in any other situation. So over here, just because there's a deer in your house, we're not going to say, don't lock your door this time. Don't close your door this time. That's the position of Shulte Giborim. Where it comes up is, for instance, you're walking down the street on Friday night, and there are these houses that have lights over their driveways in front of the houses that are triggered by motion detectors. And so you walk by the house and you trigger the motion detector and you set off the light. According to the Shulte Giborim, that would not be an issue. You're simply walking on the sidewalk. You're doing something that's totally mutar on Shabbat. It's something that you would do anytime. I mean, you do it any Shabbat, you'd walk over there, it's no question. And all of a sudden, somebody has their sensor be too sensitive. And as you walk by the sidewalk, it turns on the light. So now it is a pasuk reshe, because if you walk there, the light will be triggered. Nevertheless, way the Shilti Giborim sets it up is that in that case, it's mutar legamrei, because you're doing what is normal, doing an action or activity that is completely mutar. And therefore, we don't hold you culpable in that case for pasuk reshe, and it would be mutar legamrei in those situations. So that Shilti Giborim is a big chiddush in that area, and we still try to avoid those situations where if you know ahead of time, much more difficult. If you know that there's something there and you're going to trigger it, that we tell you to walk around, we tell you to try to avoid it. But from the Shilti Giborim, you might not even have to walk around. You might be able to walk there even knowing that it might trigger it, because your intent is to walk there, not to trigger the light, not to set the light off. Now, if you want the light on, that might be a different problem. According to the Rashba, it would be fine. According to the Shilti Giborim, he wouldn't go that far to say that is fine. Where it came up, there are some articles in the Tchumim journal that were written a number of years ago with regards to Yerushalayim, Ir Atika. Some people are aware, others are not aware, but the entire old city of Yerushalayim is blanketed in CCTVs, closed-circuit TVs. And they're on all the time. You're always being watched, recording every movement in the city. If you look carefully when you walk around, even in the old city, you look around, you'll see that there are cameras up everywhere, and that they are watching. They capture every movement in the city. They are on Shabbat as well. And if you walk down to the Kotel on Shabbat, you are being filmed. You are on CCTV. Because that's what's there. They're there for the security of the city. And when you walk down from wherever you are in Yerushalayim down to the Kotel, you are by definition going to pass in front of a camera. Amongst the arguments there, questions about, is there a problem with the CCTV? Is there a problem with taking pictures and having the picture be in electronic forms? Oh, there are all such ways to discuss what their issues are and whether it's there or not. One of the issues that comes up is this Shilti Giborim, which is that all you're planning on doing is you're trying to walk to the Kotel. You're trying to do something that's otherwise mutar. You're involved in the action of walking, of getting from one place to the other in what would be otherwise completely mutar and something you would do any time. But because there are cameras there, you're being captured on the cameras. So would that be a problem of pasuk reshe? Assuming that getting caught on the camera is problematic, you have to get through that step first. But if you think it's asur, then this Shilti Giborim plays an important role in that. Because going to the Shilti Giborim, it still would be mutar. It would not be a problem. So this is amongst the issues that comes up in that discussion about the cameras in Yerushalayim in Ir Atika, walking through there on Shabbat itself. That's why this Shilti Giborim is very, very important. On the other hand, we know that the other Rishonim argue on this Rashba, and they disagree. They have to figure out how to read the Mishnah. Again, most of them read the Mishnah in a case where you didn't know about the Tzvi that's in there. You're unaware that the Tzvi is in there. You only find out about it afterwards. So in that case, they say, even though maybe it's a pasuk reshe, it's not a problem because you didn't know about it. Had you known about the Tzvi being there, then it would definitely be problematic. And then that would eliminate this heter of the Shilti Giborim premised on the Rashba. So here the Ran quotes the Rashba. He says, "V'dvarav tumuhim be'enai harbe." That what he said seems outlandish to me. Which is what the Rashba says. That he wants to lock the door for himself and for the animal. So you can put on an electric lock on your door because you have to close the door on Shabbat. Why does closing the door on Shabbat, which you normally do, automatically allow you to do other melachot? Just because you're locking your door and you normally do that, that shouldn't be matir mlachot. He says, I don't understand this. Lo'od, el shani omer, shafilu she'eno mitkaven lino'o ba'ad ha'tzvi. And if he has no intent for the tzvi itself, kol she'u yadua she'tzvi b'tocho, if he knows the tzvi's inside, v'i'ev shar shlo yeh tzvi nitzod b'tocho, and it's automatic, inevitable that it'll be captured, asur. That is completely asur. So you see the Ran taking a very strong stand against the Rashba. And he says the opposite. Not only is he knocked the Rashba out, he knocks the Shilti Giborim out, because he says, if you have knowledge of the Tzvi being there, and even if you have no intent for the Tzvi to be trapped, asur. At least the Shilti Giborim was one step away from the Rashba. He says, okay, if you're trying for the Tzvi as well, no. The Rashba said, even if you're trying to lock the Tzvi as well. He said, listen, if you're just trying to lock the door, it should be fine. Here the Ran discards that position as well, and says it's completely asur, because that is a case of pasuk reshe. Then he brings an example of pasuk reshe where Chazal were matir. That was only in the face of sakanat v'nefashot. But he says, "Va melechet rishut chas v'shalom." Says that if it's melechet rishut, nobody would be matir a pasuk reshe. There's no reason why it should be mutar over here. So that's the Ran's position, and the Ramban, many of them argue on this Rashba and the Shilti Giborim. So that's what made it more difficult, because there are many Rishonim who reject this position. But that position of the Rashba and the Shilti Giborim, again, is important in many of these modern-day situations where there are electronic items that are triggered by everyday activities that you're doing. And at least if you don't go as far as the Rashba, when you don't have intent for that item, the Rashba says even if you have intent for that item as well as the normal course of business, then you'd be mutar. So leaving out that stream of the Rashba, but even the Shilta Giborim, if you're not intending for the Asur item, even though it's triggered by your action, that might be mutar on Shabbat, has brought implications for certain of these items on Shabbat. Alright, so now we continue with the Gemara on top of Kuv Zayin. Amar Rabbi Ava, Amar Rabbi Chiya, Barash, Amar Rav, Nichnasa lo tzipor tacha kenafav. A bird flies under his clothing. He can sit down. The bird came in by itself. He didn't do anything. Then he could sit with it until nightfall. The equivalent of what happened in our Mishnah, which is the second person sat down when everything was trapped already. He can stay there even after the first person leaves. Same thing over here. The bird caused himself to be trapped by himself. You didn't do the trapping. Now, once it's trapped, you don't have to get up to free the bird. You can remain there and keep it trapped in the position that it is and for the remainder of Shabbat. Harishon chayav, hasheni patur. My love, fill your question. Patur, aval asur. Sounds like from our Mishnah, when the second person sat down and the first one gets up, that the second one is patur, but still asur. Look, patur umutar. Not only is he patur, but he's also mutar to do this. Hachanami mistavro, that makes sense. Doni seifa. What's the end of the Mishnah? Lama ze domeh. What is this similar to? Noel et beito lishomro. He locks the house to protect him. Nimtzat Tzvi Shemor B'tocho. That last case in the Mishnah is something that we consider to be totally mutar. Milau de patur umutar shmamina. From that comparison to that last case in the Mishnah, which sounds like it's completely mutar, that indicates to us that the case before, when it said a patur, it meant patur u mutar, not patur ve'asur. Ike d'amre, some say it this way. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak afanan namitanino. We have a Mishnah that supports this idea. My love, patur mutar. So this second lashon begins with the premise that it's patur mutar. Instead of questioning that statement that was made by Rabbi Avam, Amar Rabbi Chiya, Amar Rabbi Ashi, Amar Rav, before we brought the Mishnah as a question on it, and then we answered the question by saying, no, it is patur mutar. Here, the Gemara is saying this is a siyua, this is a help to their position, because look, in our Mishnah, it's patur mutar. It says, well, patur aval asur. Now that in Mishnah means patur avasur. It says ha mektani seifa ha lama zed dumeh the noel et beito the shomro v'nimtzas shvi shomor betocho kal de patur mutar shmamina. Now the Gemara starts with the premise that it's patur mutar, rejects it because the Mishnah says patur, which means patur avasur. But then the Gemara says, if that's the case, what are you going to do with the comparison to that last scenario? That comparison to the last scenario in the Mishnah is clearly patur u mutar. So if it's patur u mutar, that means that the scenario before that's been compared to it is also patur mutar, and that's the conclusion. So both Lashonot end up in the same place, it's just a question of how they start. The first one starts with the premise it's patur avasur, and brings the last case in the Mishnah to prove that it's mutar. The second Lashon begins with the premise that it's patur mutar. Mar rejects it and says patur vasur, but then it comes back and says you're right, because the last statement in the Mishnah says, tells you that it's patur mutar. And then we have the statement, Amar Shmuel kol paturei de Shabbat patur balasur. The statement that we've seen from Shmuel back in the beginning of the Masechta. Whenever in the Masechta it says patur, it means patur avalasur. Patur mi de oraita, asur mi de rabanan. Bar mehani tzlat. The exception of these three items. De patur o mutar. There are three times that in the Mishnah it says patur, and it means not just patur, it means completely mutar. Chadaha, one of them is our Mishnah. So that's the case that we just discussed now in our Mishnah. That's one of them. Umimai de patur mutar. And how do you know in our Mishnah the patur means patur mutar? Tani seifa, because of the proof that we brought all along here, which is the last line of the Mishnah. The last line of Mishnah compares it to this case where ma zed domeh lenoel et beitol the shomron inside see shomor betochol goy. He locks the house and he finds out that there's a deer inside lock, which was completely mutar, that which he did was mutar, and therefore so too, in this case, where the second individual sits down in front of the first individual, even when the first individual gets up, the second person who sat down did nothing wrong. Because when he sat down, he did nothing wrong. Just because the first person leaves doesn't make him culpable for tzad. He did not do the malach of tzad. The malach of tzad was already done. If it's already done, and he simply reinforces it, he simply continues it, maintains the status quo, there's no problem with that. Similar to when the bird flies into your clothing, under your clothing, and you sit down, the bird trapped itself. You're sitting there, just maintains that status quo, and that's why it's mutar. The other case is v'idach. Mapis mursa b'shabbat. Someone who has to release liquid on Shabbat. They have something on their body, whether it's a pus that is stuck inside, whether it's an infection, whatever it is, they need to drain it out because it's painful. Mario or the Rishonim discussed about makom tzar. But it's a place where it's painful, and he wants to release whatever's in there so the liquids come out. If you burst it, or you open it up in order to make an opening defined in halacha that's problematic on Shabbat is something that's used both for egress as well as entering. It has to be in both directions. It has to be something that lets out and allows to enter. If you're making it a two-way street, which is that you want the item to drain out, as well as the fact is that you want to get air in there, you want other things to go in there, whatever it is that you want to enter to cure the situation, that would be problematic. On the other hand, im lo tzi mimenu lecha, if he simply wants to use it as a drain, a one-way street, then patur. Now, truthfully, patur here should be patur avavasur, because you're doing a petach, but a unidirectional petach, which is that you just want it to exit, you just want the stuff to drain out. In any other situation, we would say that is patur aval asur. In this situation, it's patur mutar mimai, the patur mutar, that's not. Machat shal yad litol bayit hakotz. One may pick up a needle, a small needle, in order to remove a splinter from someone's hand. So again, the machat, whether that's a davar asur, carried on Shabbat even though it's muksa. And on top of that, you're allowed to push the splinter out, even though you're going to create an opening by pushing the splinter out, because you simply want the splinter out. You want it to exit from your finger, or wherever it is. You don't want to open up a doorway to let it in. In both of these cases, the mitigating factor is tsar, is pain, which is that it's a, number one, as Tosafot points out, it's in a tzricha de gufa. It's shari lechatchila b'makom tzar. Even though general melach shein tzricha legufa is a sur, that's an isur derabanan in melach shein tzricha legufa. Rabbi Shimon believes melach shein tzricha legufa is a sur mi derabanan. The rabbanan waived that isur when there's tzar, when there's pain. It's waived because of the pain. And helping the person out, the rabbanan waived the isur derabanan, and that's why it's mutar here. V'idach, the last one is a tzad nachash b'shabbat. Someone traps a snake on Shabbat. If he's doing it in order that the snake will not bite him, patur. If he's doing it for medicinal reasons, he's trapping the snake because he wants the venom from the snake, he wants it for medicinal reasons, then he's chayav. Because then he's trapping it for trapping the snake. In the case where he's doing it simply to block the snake from attacking him, then it's mochashen tzrichol gufa, or possibly davashen umikavein. So then it's mu patur umimai de patur mutar. How do you know that this patur means mutar? It's not. Fim karal aner b'shvish lo techos b'kora. You'll have to turn a pot upside down on top of the candle to block the candle from catching fire on the ceiling. Bala tzoashol katan. And on the excrement of a minor. Bala krav shalot tishach. And on a scorpion so that it will not bite you. So we see that you're allowed to do this, you're allowed to trap, in the sense, a scorpion so it won't bite you because it's mafshein tzrichol gufa. And over there, the Mishnah is saying, do it lechatchila. It's telling you what you can do. It's not telling you what you can't do, it's telling you what you can do. It says mutar to do it lechatchila. It's interesting here because the Gemara in Brachot differentiates between a snake and an akrav. Which one is dangerous? That one is dangerous and one is not so dangerous. Between a snake and an akrav. And over there, the Gemara differentiates there when you're davening Shemon Esrei, whether you're allowed to move. If you are attacked by a snake or an akrav, because one of them bites, one of them doesn't bite, Gemara makes a differentiation. So if you look in the Gota Bach, it says, I don't understand. The Tzarechiyom, Gemara Brachot, Perkein Omdim, Aval Matzati B'Tosvot, Antav Gimel, Bar Mahani Tzlat, Tekan Ein Atam Bishum Sakana. The reason here is not because of danger, Rak, Mikoach Mlacha Dein Tzarech Lugufa, In Kein B'Zayin Chiluk Ben Nachash Le'akrav. If the whole issue here, it's not because of danger, but Sakana Nefashot, then of course everything is Mutar, but Sakana Nefashot, and number two is, then he says, I run into a problem, because the Gemara in Brachot says one of them is Sakanat Nefashot, one of them is not the Sakanat Nefashot. Why isn't that differentiation arise here? He says, because the whole problem here is it's Melacha, Sheinat Tzricha Legufa. We're only dealing with a Din D'Rabbanan now. We're dealing with a Din D'Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Shimon, then we don't start worrying about how dangerous or what danger is. If you're afraid that it's going to bite you, you're allowed to protect yourself because it's Melacha, Sheinat Tzricha Legufa. And the Chamim waived that in this instance. Right, now we begin the next parak. Shmona shvatzim ha'amurim ba'Torah. There are 8 shvatzim that are listed in the Torah. Those 8 shvatzim have a special status in terms of Tumah. They have a din of Tumah, and they are unique. The Torah in Parshat Achrimot lists these 8 shvatzim that are unique and tmeim. The 8 shvatzim that are mentioned in the Torah are the acholed, which is a mongoose or a weasel, ha'achbar, which is a mouse, ve'atzav, which is a toad, hanakah, which is a hedgehog or a porcupine, hakoach, which is a lizard or a chameleon, halita'ah, which is a lizard, the chomet, which is a snail, and the tinshamet, which is a mole, at least according to the way that Rashi translates these words in the psukim. So at zadan, you trap them, v'achovel behen, and if you injure them, chayav, then you are chayav, as opposed to bashar, shkatzim, uremasim, any other creepy, crawly thing, anything else in that category, achovel behen, patur. If you damage them, you are patur. Vatzadan, on the other hand, if you trap them, litzorech, if it's because you want that item, chayav. Shalom litzorech, if you're trying to protect yourself or block them, then patur, then you are patur. Yes, we're talking about Shabbat over here. What's the difference between them? First of all, the shmona tzfratzim are normally captured for their skins and utilized for their skins. Therefore, if you trap them, the default status is that you're trapping for using them. So unless it's some otherwise, then the default is that you're trapping them to utilize them and you'd be chayav. On the other hand, the other shkatzim and remesim, the default is that people don't trap them. And so here you have to have specific intent to trap them to use them in order to be chayav. The default will be if you're trapping them, it's to prevent some danger or some sort of preventative measure, and then it'll be Mlacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, and that's why it's Patur in the Mishnah. That's number one. The second one is the issue of Chavala. Chavala is injuring them. One case you're Chayav for injuring them, the other one you're not Chayav for injuring them. The difference is that these Shmona Shratim have skin. They have skin, and therefore if you injure them, when the blood is released, it has some impact. We'll see in 1 second here in the Rashi. Whereas by the other Shkatzim U Rimasim, that is not the case, because they lack a skin, and therefore when you injure them, whatever malacha is being done here, does not happen to them. That's the way the Mishnah is laid out. Rashi says, what's the problem with injuring such animals? Not killing them. What's the problem with injuring such animals? He brings two possibilities about what the problem is. One possibility is, it's tolda dishochit. It's a derivative of doing shchita. What's the shchita? Shchita is that you injure an animal in a irreparable way. When you check the animal, it's going in a direction that will never get repaired again. So to over here, this injury, this chabalah that you do, is irreversible. And because of that, you are chayav because of the tolda of shochet. On the other hand, he brings a second possibility, which is it's a problem of soveya, problem of dying on Shabbat. Because when you injure the animal, the blood traps or sits between the skin and the flesh of the animal, and in doing so, it colors the skin red. So you're now being soveya, the skin of the animal. Those are the two possibilities that Rashi brings. Tosafot over here says, the one that he says is mitrum nitilat nishama ikar. He says that Netilat Neshama is the focus over here. This issue of Tzoveya is not the real issue. We discussed this early on. Rashi and Tosafot discussed this early on in terms of, there they talk about Shechita. What's the problem with Shechita? So over there, the Rabbeinu Tam believes that the problem with Shechita is what we call Netilat Neshama. And same thing with Nedri. He says, Mali Meit Ma'at, Mali Meit Harbe. What's the difference between if you kill someone a lot or you kill them a little? That an injury is just a step towards the ultimate killing of somebody or something. Whereas Rashi over there discusses again this issue of possibly tzoveya, problem of that the skin is being colored by the blood that's being released, and maybe that's the problem. Here Tosafot says that I think that Rashi says Netilat Neshama is right, and he says it again back on Daf Ayin Hey. So that's the problem. The Gemara is going to get into more discussion about this issue. In terms of Shabbat, there's only chavala if they have skin. If it's tzoveya, for sure you need a skin, because if it's tzoveya, by Netilat Neshama, without an or, that there is no such concept of chabalah, that you can't injure them in an irreparable way. Because whatever injury is done will resolve itself. It will repair itself, heal itself. And therefore you won't have the problem of it being chabalah that is irreversible. Chayav ha'of shibishuto. If he has a chayin of that are in his possession already, at zadan patur, trap them, your patur, because they're trapped already. They're already in your possession. They could be domesticated, or if they're not domesticated, they've already been put into an area that's considered to be trapped. Therefore, if you grab them, then it's patur. Vachovel ben chayav. If you injure them, then you are chayav, because by these animals, there clearly is a skin on them in a chayah and an oaf. Midik tani, achovel ben chayav. Because our mission says that if you injure them, you're chayav. Michlau, di luor. The conclusion you must come to is that they all have skin. That's why I met the Shmona Shratzim. Mantana. Who's the author of our Mishnah who says that all eight of the Shratzim have skin? Amar Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Tana Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Tzan. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Shmona Shratzim, Yesh Lahem Orot. All eight of the Shratzim have skins on them. Rabba bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Afilu Teimer Rabbonon. The Rabbonon could be the authors of our Mishnah, because Ad Kan Lo Pligi Rabbonon Leid Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Rabbonon who say that there are only four of the eight Shratzim that have skin to them, because of the way the Pasuk is divided up. There are four mentioned in one Pasuk, and there's four mentioned the other pasuk, and then there's a Limud, which is again not so important to us today, that says Eila Tmeim Lachem. That pasuk, or that end of pasuk Eila Tmeim, is only written by four of them. So now that Eila comes to exclude the other four that are written in the other pasuk. That's the way the Rabbanan learned. So now the Gemara says, "Aitan lo pligi Rabbanan leid Rabbi Yochanan minori elin yan tuma." That's only by tuma. Dichtiv Eila Tmeim Lachem. That these are the ones that are tamei for you. The Rabot. There it comes to include she'orotehem kibsaram. It teaches you that their skin has the same din as their flesh. Meaning that if you take in a ka'adasha, which is a lentil size of that sheretz, you would be tamei, whether it's from the skin or whether it's from the flesh. Ela li'inyin shabbat, hafil rabbanon modem. Even the rabbanon agreed that they have skin. They're not disagreeing that all eight shretim have skin. What they're disagreeing about is whether that skin has the same status as the flesh of the sheretz. In the pasuk that says, Eila Tmeim Lechem, those four, they have that special din that their flesh and their skins are identical with regards to Tumah. The other four, they have skin, it's just that they don't have that din. Their skin is a separate entity from their flesh, and therefore their flesh would be Tmeim, but not the skins. Where it says, Ulin in Shabbat lo pligi, they really don't argue by Shabbat, Vatanya, with a brighter. Tzad echad mishmona shretzim amurim b'torah, v'chovel ben Chayav, Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. You see, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says by all of the Shmona Shvatzim that a chovel ben is chayav because he thinks they all have skin. Chamim Ramim, Ein Or Elama Shemanu Chachamim. It's only skins to those that were enumerated by the Chachamim. What are those that are enumerated by the Chachamim? That's the Anaka, the Koach, Halita'an, the Chomet. Those four, Orotehem, Kibsaram. Adarabba. Hey, it's just the opposite. The Mashemaru Chachamim, Ein Lehemor. The ones that the Chachamim enumerated don't have skin. Sam Rabbi Yochi Kamar. Ein Or Chaluk Mi Basar. Elo the Mashalo Manu Chachamim. The Or and the Basar are not separated, don't have a different din, except for those that were not enumerated by the Chachamim. He does a double negative. He rereads it as a double negative and says, well, the Or and the Basar are not separate, except for those that were not enumerated by the Chachamim. So that means that the Or is Chaluk from the Basar for those that were not enumerated by the Chachamim. So the ones that are listed, that their Or is like their Basar, it's as if they have no skin to them. That means that the others that do have a separate skin and basar, which is what we're after here. We're after here somebody that has a separate skin. So that means that the ones that come in were not monah, which is the chulad, the achbar, the tzav, and the tinshamet. Those four items, their skin is separate. Whereas the anakah, the koach, halita'an, the chomet, all of those, ain oran chaluk mi basar. Their or and their basar are considered to be one, and therefore the skin is not relevant in that case. Bai, in order to solve the problem about mashmanu chachamim, reread the bright as a double negative. Amrle Rabba, ha, the Mashmanu Chachamim Kamar. That's not what the Braita says. The Braita says, the Mashmanu Chachamim. You're changing it to a negative formulation, which isn't there. Elo Amr Rabba, Achi Kamar. This is what it means. Ein Or Mitameke Basar. The Or is not Mitameke Basar, Elo Mashmanu Chachamim. Except for those that are enumerated by the Chachamim. But Michlal, from that we can infer, Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, Hanachnami, Delo Manu Chachamim Mitamim. That means that the other four also, Rabbi Yochanan Menuri believes that the Orot are Mitamei. Vaktani, don't we have a statement, Rabbi Yochanan Menuri Omer, Chet Shretzim Yesh Lahem Orot. Velo Mitamim. They all have skins, and the skins are not Mitamei. So that creates an issue for Rav Rava's solution. So now we have a third solution to this problem. Amar Avadar Bar Matna, Tari Talchi. This is the way you should read it. Memorim, Linyan Tuma, Ein Or, Lema Shemanu Chachamim. That's the Tuma. There is no Or, there's no skin for those that are enumerated by the Chachamim, because the skin is like the flesh. Agati, Linyan Shabbat, Lo Plige, and by Shabbat, you still do not have an argument between them. So what you had here was you had three attempts to explain this Braita. We have a problem that we bring a Braita that suggests that Rabbi Yochanan Menuri and the Chachamim are arguing about these Shkatzim, these eight Shretzim, about what their status is with regards to whether they have skin or don't have skin. That's what the implications, that's what it seems the Braita is saying. So then we first have to read the Braita. We have trouble reading the Braita because the ones enumerated by the Chachamim do not have an Or. Yet, what the Braita says is that those that are enumerated by the Chachamim have an Or. So how do we deal with that? So Abayu tries to amend the Braita and say, look, I'll read it as a double negative. Instead of reading it as a positive, same read it as a double negative, and you'll get where you want to be. Which is that the ones that are not enumerated by the Chachamim do have an Or. If you read it as a double negative, you'll get there. Now, Abaye has solved the problem with regards to Tuma, an explanation of the Braita, but he does leave the question that we had before in place, which is that it sounds like from this, Le'inyan Shabbat, that the Chachamim do argue on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The latter two answers, that of Rava and of Rav Adar Bar Matna, actually address both the Tuma issue as well as the Shabbat issue, because their explanation within Tuma is specifically a machloket in Tuma, does not have repercussions or extend over to the issues of Shabbat. We could still say something else by Shabbat. Rava says that's not what the Braita says. You have to read what the Braita says. Rava says, the Braita says, Linyan Tuma'ah, Ein Or Mitamei Kibasar. When it comes to Tuma'ah, the Or doesn't have the same status as the Basar, except to those four that were enumerated by the Chachamim, which is true. The problem with that is the inference that you would draw from that is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri thinks everything is Tamei, which is not true. So again, you run yourself into a problem. You got rid of the Shabbat problem, but now you got a problem with Tuma'ah. So then we have Ada Bar Ava solution, which deals with both Shabbat and Tuma'ah. He deals with Shabbat because he says that it's only time about the Inyan Tuma. He says, Hakamim Amrim the Inyan Tuma. Then, how does he deal with the other problem? Ein Or, Lama Shemanu Chachamim. There is no skin to those that were enumerated by the Chachamim. And by saying that, he solved his problem. He explained it in Tuma. The ones that are enumerated by the Chachamim don't have an Or. Top of that, has no issue for Shabbat. Vakatalin Shabbat, Lo Plige. So we've solved our problem now. And said the possibility that the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri by Shabbat, that they have an Or, they have a skin, and you would be chayav on Shabbat if you injured any of these shmona shretzim. Gemara says, v'atanyo, don't we have another braita? Tzad echad miyachet shretzim, someone who traps one of the eight shretzim. Amurim b'torah, chuvel ben chayav. If you injure them, you're chayav, b'shretzim sheyesh lem orot, with those shretzim that have skins. V'ezohi chabura sheino chozeret. How do we know that you've injured them irreparably, irreversibly? Is that if it's an injury, then tzarar hadam, afu bishle yatza. If the blood gathers, even though it's not exiting, it's trapped between the skin and the flesh, that is an injury that will not go away, that will not reverse itself. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, and Rabbi Yochanan responds, and it says, Chet Shretzim Yesh Lehem Orot. All eight of the Shretzim have Orot. Okay, so now we have a problem. We have Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and we have a Tanakama who's arguing on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Who's the Tanakama? The most likely author of the Tanakama's position is the Chachamim. So if it's the Chachamim, again, we see they're arguing in Shabbat. The Rabbi Yochanan says that all eight are problematic on Shabbat. Chachamim is limiting that. So Amar Ravashi man Tanakama. Who's the Tanakama here? It is Rabbi Yehuda. Dazal bater Gishta. The Rabbi Yehuda, he does not learn like the Chachamim in the Pasuk. He goes after Gishta, which is the feel. But the Gishta here means it feels like wood. It feels like it's hard. And so if it's skin is thick and hard, then it has a real skin to it. But if it is thin, a thin skin, and it doesn't have a full-fledged skin there, it's not hard, then that's not classified as a skin. So he does it not by the Chachamim's drasha of the way the Pasuk divided, four here, he just talks practically. If you touch the animal, if it has something that's real, feels like a skin on it, then it has a skin. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So the difference for him is the Anaka, the Koach, and the Chomet, he believes they don't have skin. He, as opposed to the Chachamim, moves the Lita'a over from the category of not having skin to having skin. So he, instead of having four that have skin, he adds on the additional lita'a, the lizard, to also have a skin. We know that he differentiates between them, and he'll be the author of this position. He'll argue on Shabbat, just like he argues by Tumah, with regards to what has a skin or not, because he doesn't have a pasuk. He's not doing it through a limud. He's simply saying, I feel the animal, and I feel like it has a thick skin, that's a skin. If it feels like it has a thin skin, doesn't have a real cover to it, then it's not a skin. So if his issue is simply a argument of logic, that should apply both to Tumah and Shabbat. I mean, we have a drusha, and their drusha is Eleim Tameim Lachem. These are those that are tomato. You could say that their position is unique to Tumah. Doesn't apply by Shabbat. By Shabbat, they'll agree to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. That's what the Gemara is attempting to say here. The Chachamim and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri by Shabbat agree. It's Rabbi Yehuda who is the one that disagrees. That's not. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Halita'a Kechulda. The lizard has the same din as the weasel, and therefore it has a skin to it. In the end, then, we will have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, five that are considered to have orot are the chuda, the choled, or the chuda, which is a weasel, the achbar, the mouse, the tzav, which is a toad, shamet, which is a mole. Those will all have skins to them. And the ones that will not have skins are the anaka, which is, whether it's a hedgehog or a porcupine, koach, which is a lizard or chameleon, and the Lita'a, according to Rabbi Yehuda, does have skin, and according to the Chachamim, does not have skin. So now the Gemara moves on. Aval Rabbanan, the Pligya Leid Rabbi Yochanan. When it comes to Rabbanan, they're arguing Rabbi Yochanan Minuri, Lein Tumah. That's by Tumah. Lein in Shabbat. Modulei by Shabbat, they will agree to him. Hiyachi. So if that's the case, Hai Divrei Rabbi Yochanan Minuri, when the Braita concluded that whoever's arguing on the Tanya Kamma is Rabbi Yochanan Minuri, Divrei Rabbi Yochanan Umachluku told me by it. It's not just Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri who argues on Rabbi Yehuda. It's even the Chachamim that argue on Rabbi Yehuda, because by Shabbat, they agree to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's position. So Gemara says, Tnei, amend the Braita to say, Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, umach lukuto. It's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim that argue on the Tanakama, who is Rabbi Yehuda. But mine Levi mi Rabbi. Levi asks this question from Rabbi, Minayin lechabura sheino chozeret. How do you know that a chabura is irreversible, that it is irreparable? Dichtiv, efoch kushi oro, v'namer Chabar Berotav. Does a Kushi, if someone of dark complexion, dark skin, does his skin all of a sudden change colors? Vinamer. Okay, whether a leopard its spots or a tiger its stripes, the mare is translated sometimes as a leopard, sometimes as a tiger. We'll just use tiger for the sense here, but it means the same thing in both these situations. The mashal is understood in either way. Does a tiger change its stripes? These are things that are permanent. They don't just go away. Where it says, my chabur brotav, what does it mean its stripes? Ilem dekai rikme rikme. If you think, like I'm suggesting here, it means stripes. Hai, benamer. Chabar berotav, namer gvanav mi baile. It shouldn't say its spots. It should really say its colors. It doesn't change its colors. Ela kukushi. What does it mean? Like the kushi. Ma orodu kushi eno chuzeret. Just like the skin of someone of a darkened complexion does not change. Af chabura. They're learning the word not to be chabur berotav, meaning its spots or its stripes, but rather injuries that do not reverse. Talking about by the namer, an injury will not reverse itself because it has skin. Therefore, if the blood is trapped between the skin and the flesh, that coloring, that chabura, eno chozeret, won't go back. And that's the way the pasuk is being stated. Again, the statements in the pasukim are rhetorical questions. Does such and such change? Does such and such change? The simple reading of the pasuk is, how does a tiger change its stripes? But the way the Gemara is learning it is that can't be the case, because then it should have said, does it change its colors? Because to be parallel with the kushi, with the darker complexion skin, it's talking about the color, the pigment of the skin. It's not talking about the fact that it has stripes, because it has different colored stripes on it, but that's not what it's suggesting. What's suggesting over here is that the chabura is irreversible. That's the limud that Rabbi said to Levi in response to his question. What we have here basically is, we had a machloket about which of the shmona shvatzim have skins to them. That was a machloket. We have three different opinions with that. We have the chachamim, we have Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and we have Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the simplest of them. He says that there are five of these shvatzim that have skin. It's based on touch. You touch them and you feel that they're thick and they hard skin to them. They have skin. Five out of the eight have skins to them. And that's it. It's called skin because you touch it and you know it's a skin. That'll have equal application to Tumah and Shabbat because that's what matters. By Tumah, it matters if it has a skin. If it has a skin, then its skin is not tameh like its flesh. And number two is by Shabbat, if you're chovel, if you injure them, you're going to be chayav because it has a skin. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri is on the other side of the spectrum, which is that everything has a skin, period. Everything there has a skin, and their skin is separate from their basar. If the skin is separate from their basar, number one, le'inyan tumah, there is no tumah by the skin like the basar. And number two is le'inyan Shabbat, if you're chovel by them, you're going to be chayav because they all have skins. Question is the Chachamim's position. The Chachamim say four of them have skin, and four of them do not have skin, based on the division of the pasuk, which is Elehem Atzmeim Lachem. These are those that are Tamei for you. So the ones that are Ein Or Chaluk Minu Basar, the skin is not separate from the Basar, for the Chachamim, for the four that are mentioned in the pasuk of Elu Tmeim Lachem, which is the Pulad, the Achbar, the Tzavan, and Tinshamet. Those four don't have skin separate from the skins, because it's Elohim Tameim Lechem. Their basar and their skin can be considered to be equally Tameh. But the implications from that are the other four don't have that din. The other four have a din where their skin is separate from the basar, and their skin will not be Tameh like the basar. That's the statement of Chachamim. The question is, what does that mean, the Gabei Shabbat? And so we first thought that if the Chachamim believed that those four have skin, those four don't have skin, that means that the Inyan Shabbat, the same din would be applicable. Whatever they think has skin for Tumah and is not Tameh like the basar will also be Chayav and Shabbat. The two will be correlated. The Gemara's answer is no. Chamim is a gzeirat hakatuf. It's based on the pasuk. They all have skins. It's just the pasuk designates these four that their skin is like their basar, and it's tamei like their basar. The other four don't have that din. But all of them have skin on them. And since all of them have skin on them, when it comes to Shabbat, you're going to be chayav to be chovel. Just like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you're going to be chayav on all eight of them. And that's the conclusion of the Gemara, that all eight, you're chayav on Shabbat, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim. The only one who disagrees is Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks five of them have skin, and those you would be chayav on Shabbat for. The three that don't have skin, you're not going to be chayav on Shabbat for, just like by Tumah. Right now, the Gemara says, v'shar shkatzim v'ramasim. V'ha horgan chayav. If you kill them, you are chayav. If you injure them, you're not going to be chayav. Chabalah is not chayav, but if you kill them, you're chayav. Mantan, who's the author of our Mishnah? Am Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Eliezer, he, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Rei Kina b'Shabbat, Gorei Gamal b'Shabbat. Someone who kills a louse on Shabbat is like killing a camel. The reason he uses camel here is simply because it's a large animal. It's clear that you're killing it, not because there's anything special about a camel. Matki fla Rabbi Yosef, adkan lo pligi rabbanan alei Rabbi Eliezer, le bikina. The Chachamim only argue on Rabbi Eliezer with regards to a louse. Deinu prey or ave, because it doesn't reproduce. Aval shas katzim or masim de parim ravim lo pligi. Any other creepy crawly thing, small item, that reproduces, they would agree that killing it on Shabbat is problematic. So it's not just Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim could be the authors of our Mishnah. Shneim lo lamdu elam eilim. They both learn it out from the eilim that were used in the Mishkan to make the orot techashim that are on top of the Mishkan. They came from the eilim adumim, from these red rams. And so they're going to learn out shchita of that animal from the eilim of the Mishkan. Beleza, Sarak Elim. They have to be similar to the Elim that were used in the Mishkan. My Elim, Sheesh Lehem, Itilat Neshama. Of course, Sheesh Bon, Itilat Neshama. If you kill the animal, that's what you're culpable for. You kill the Elim. That's why it was a sword to kill on Shabbat. And that's anything that you're killing. You kill a louse, that's a problem on Shabbat. Rabbanan, Sarak Elim. Rabbanan also say it's just like the Elim. Ma Elim, the Parim Ravim, just like Elim reproduce. I've called the prayer of air. So too, any animal, any live being that reproduces, that's your chayav for on Shabbat. Something that doesn't reproduce, you're not going to be chayav for Shabbat. And what does that imply? It implies that lice do not reproduce. We know that's not true. We know lice lay eggs, and they do reproduce. The assumption of the Chachamim, I'm not going to go into it so deeply here, but it can be proved throughout Shas that the Chachamim here believe, and it's true in many of the Rishonim, in spontaneous generation. And that these animals, the lice here, are spontaneously generated. They grow out of the hair. They grow out of the skin. They grow out of certain items. They are not reproducing. They're not generated by reproduction like any other animal. They just appear. They come out. The Gemara has in other places of animals that exit the ground that are made out of half mud, half animal. And as they exit the ground, they become a full animal. I mean, this idea of spontaneous generation. There are many places in Shas that it appears, and the Rishonim almost clearly say it in many of these places, that they think there is such a concept of spontaneous generation. And that's what's making the difference. The question is today, where we know that lice do reproduce, is there a problem killing a louse on Shabbat? So some will say yes, that there is a problem because it's prayer vain. Others say that their reproduction is microscopic. And even though the premise of the Chachamim is wrong, which is that they don't reproduce, some argue that this is what the Chachamim meant, which is more difficult. But others say even if the Chachamim didn't mean it, this is true as well, which is that the reproduction is microscopic. So even though they reproduce, but since the reproduction is microscopic, something that's not visible to the naked eye, it's not meaningful on Shabbat. The only thing that's meaningful on Shabbat is something that is visible to the naked eye. We don't ask you in halacha to look at things that are microscopic. So for instance, if there is something in the water, bacteria in the water, we don't say you can't drink the water if it's not visible. It's only if that item is visible in the water and you could see it, does it become problematic. Maybe the same with borer, with filters on Shabbat. If you're taking out things that are not visible in the water, that may not be a problem on Shabbat because it's not visible to the naked eye. The same thing here. Even though the lice reproduce, the fact is that they don't do it in a manner that's visible to the naked eye. And that's why it may be that you're patur on Shabbat for killing the louse. Not because it doesn't reproduce, but because it's just not visible. Again, whether that's what the Chachamim meant or not, is much more questionable, but that might be why the halacha still stands today, even though the pru revu is not true. And is it really true that the lice don't reproduce? That Hashem sits there and he feeds, he sustains the karnei reimim from those big animals to the smallest of animals. So that's actually when they hear at Son, that's for Panosah, they mention in there that Hashem is Zan, Mikanei Ramim, Abete Kinim, it's mentioned there. What do you see there? Eggs of the lice. So where it says, no, Minuhu Demikre Beitzei Kinim. There's a species called Beitzei Kinim. Beitzei Kinim doesn't mean the eggs of the lice. There's something called Beitzei Kinim. Vatanya, Tefuye U Beitzei Kinim. We have this writer which seems to have an item called Tefuye, and then a Beitzei Kinim. Minuhu demikre beitzei kinim. Again, the Gemara says it's a species with that name. It's not telling you that they have eggs. Vare parush deprei ruvei. What about the parush, which is like a flea that does reproduce? Vitanya. Atzad parush b'shabbat. If one traps a person, Shabbat, Elazar mechayev Rabbi Yeshua puter. Amrav Ashi, tzida, hariga, karamit. You're asking from trapping to killing? Aka no pligi Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua. Elo demar sever dover she'im b'mino nitzot chayav. Amar sever patur. These aren't things that you normally trap. So the question is, if you trap them on Shabbat, are you chayav? So Rabbi Eliezer says, even if it's not normally trapped, you're chayav. Rabbi Yeshua says, it's not something you normally trap, and you're trapping it, then you're not chayav on Shabbat, you're patur on Shabbat. But, valin harigat, with killing, I feel Rabbi Yeshua moder. Rabbi Yeshua is going to agree that even though it's not considered trapping, you're not going to kill this item on Shabbat. Nobody disagrees that killing the parush on Shabbat is problematic. Right, at Sadan litzorei chayav. Mantano, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Rabbi Shimoni, Damar Melachash, and Tzvika Gufa patur alea. It has to be that Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Mishnah, who says, Melachash and Tzvika Gufa is patur, because here he's doing tzeda, not for the purpose of taking the animal. He's doing tzeda to keep the animal away, or for a purpose other than trapping and taking this animal. Ika Damat Nilaha. So some people put it on this, right, this statement that the author is Rabbi Shimon. We have Rabbi Yudah Marav saying Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Mishnah. So some say that's our Mishnah. Others say it on this Mishnah. Mapis Musa B'Shabbat, someone who releases liquid from whatever it is, a boiled blister on Shabbat. If it's to make an opening, then you're chayav. If it's to drain it, patur. Who's the author of this? Rabbi Yudah Marav. Rabbi Shimon. It's also Rabbi Shimon, because here you're not opening up the petach for the purpose of a petach. You're opening it to drain it. To drain it is a mlocha she'en tzricha legufa. That's not the primary purpose of a petach in the Mishkan, according to Tosfot, according to Rashi. You're trying to be remove something, not trying to make something. And therefore, it's not chayav on Shabbat, according to Rabbi Shimon, because it's mlocha she'en tzricha legufa, and therefore patur le'avita, matin la'aha. And some say it on this Mishnah. It's not nachash b'Shabbat. Someone who traps a snake on Shabbat, imitaseg bo shelo yishachenu. If he's doing it so it won't bite him, patur. Then he's patur. Im lerufa, if it's for medicinal reasons, chayav. Again, we saw this before. Mantano, who's the author of this position, Rabbi Yudah Marav, Rabbi Shimoni, this is the author of Rabbi Shimon, Damar, Malach Shin Tzukal Gufa, patur alea. And if you do Malach Shin Tzukal Gufa, you patur. What's interesting here is, two of these Mishnayot were brought by Shmuel before and said that it doesn't just mean patur, it means mutar. Here, Rav says that it's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The question is, what does he mean? Does he mean it's Rabbi Shimon's opinion, it's patur of Al Asur, and he disagrees with Shmuel on that point? Or does he say it's Rabbi Shimon, and therefore it's patur, and that's why it's mutar? Because Rabbi Shimon brings it down to a level of the Rabbanan, and then for the dispensation of protecting yourself or for pain, we're going to say that it's mutar. Which is what Tosafot discussed before. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the din here? That's the top Tosafot on the top of the Amud Aleph of the Zaf. So now, Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, as sholet dag min hayam, someone who pulls a fish out of the water, kevin shiyavesh, focus sela chayav. If it dries out a sela's worth, that coin, the size of a sela, he is chayav. It was captured already. It's in a situation where it's already nitzod before Shabbat, and all you're doing is taking it out and killing it, basically, on Shabbat. As soon as a sela's worth dries out, the Gemara says that's irreversible death for a fish, and it will, even if you put it back in the water, it will not come back to life. And we also have Uben Snepi Rav. It has to be between its fins that it dries out that much. It doesn't have to be literally dried out. Even if you touch it, that it is liquidy, it's mucusy, in that area, when you pull your finger away, the mucus pulls away from it, that's considered to be dried out enough that the fish is in an irreversible position and it will not live again. So that would be considered in the Tilat Neshama, killing the fish in Shabbat, which is a problem. Amar Mar Barham Dure, Amar Shmuel. Hoshid Yadol Mei Beima, person sticks his hand into the womb of an animal, Dildel Ubar Shabimea, and he detaches the fetus that is inside. He basically causes the animal to miscarry. Chayav. It is Chayav, my time. Amar Rav Barham Dure, Asur Ali. But Ramduri explained to me, Lava Amar Rav Sheshet, didn't Rav Sheshet say, Hi, Manda Talish Keshuta Mihizmi, someone who pulls away, she says, Humlum, that grows, that Mireach HaKarka, that grows from the, he calls it the smell of the ground, that it draws its sustenance from the smell of the ground. If you pull it off, Mihizmi Higi, from these thorn bushes, Michaye Mishumoker Davar Migidulo, you're pulling something off from where it's growing location. Achinami Mishum, Chaye Mishumoker Davar Migidulo. You're removing something from where it grows. If you detach something from where it grows, that's called Oker Davar Megidulo. Here, even though the item that's growing, this shuta, is not growing a plant in the ground, it's like a moss or some sort of fungus that's growing there. When you pull it off the plant, you're chayav because you're taking it away from its growing location. Someone who puts off pitriot, mushrooms, fungus from the svata deliba maim on the bucket. He puts it off the rim of the bucket. When you have water on the bucket, after a while, there's algae that grows there, or fungus that grows there. If you pull it off, you're a chayav mishum oker davar migidulo. You're taking something from its growing location. Meitiv ravoshaya, hatolesh matzitz nakuv. Someone who pulls something out of a pot that has a hole in it, chayav, because it's attached to the ground. She'en nakuv, you take it out of a pot that doesn't have a hole in it, patur. Why isn't that called Oker Davar Migidulo? That's where it's growing in the pot. Where it says, Tamlav Hainu Revite. That's not the normal way it grows. Hacha Hainu Revite. This is the normal way it grows. If you have a pot planted in the ground, yes, it grows inside the pot. But the normal way to grow is from the ground itself. You need nutrition or nutrients from the ground. Therefore, when you pull it out of the pot, that's not called Oker Davar Migidulo. On the other hand, this is the natural way for the fungus, the algae, to grow. And this is the natural way for it to grow. When you pull it off, you're Oker Davar mi gidulo, and then you'll be chayav on Shabbat. Okay, we'll stop over here.